Whoa.
I'm gonna take you to the bank.
Aww.
To the blood bank.
Many people consider me, you know, one of the great masters in my own field. I've been in the martial arts for almost 50 years, and I'm getting better.
Welcome, one and all, to this brand new version review of the show.
That's right.
I am Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And we both hate Steven Seagal.
Yes.
There's no other way to put it.
That's right. You talk to anyone, anywhere. I've never heard anyone say a kind word about Seagal. And we won't either.
And when we were young, I think what really hurts us and hurts our souls
so
much.
We loved him.
We loved him because we were under the misnomer that this was a guy who actually, A, is good at martial arts.
Yes.
And B, was a great action star.
And C, not a fuckwit.
Yeah. Yeah, you could go back through the history of the show and you could hear Seagal Watch is a segment on the regular episodes that happens on the countdown episodes. It happens once every 2-3 months and we just relay the latest in the long, long line of crimes.
Yes.
Or outrages that Steven Seagal has perpetrated.
That's right. I think he's living in, what, Russia now, yeah?
Probably.
Yeah.
And yeah, recently there was news items suggesting that he was hosting a party for Russian oligarchs. Anyway, he's a piece of shit.
Yes.
This is now seemingly undisputed. There is a podcast called The Dollop, 3 episodes just outlining all the outrageous things that he's done or lied about in his career, the connections he has to the mafia that have bankrolled him, and just the fact, even the fact that he changed his voice to be not high and talking like
yes,
this.
Yes, which we only found out last week. He actually puts on that rasp.
He puts on the, I talk like this.
I say shit, brother.
So, we decided that we're going to hit Seagal where it hurts because some time ago on the show, somewhere in the order of 5 years ago, Wayne, you dramatically asserted that you could beat Steven Seagal in a fight.
I reckon I could because he's just a big, fat motherfucker. My strategy would be to outrun him, just to be fair. But
until he gets tired, then kick him once
in the nuts. Right. Once he falls over, I'll just fucking shit on him. So, like, and yes, we've received surprisingly no response, Paul.
So we put it out there to the world. We said, Steven Seagal, your camp. Wayne is ready to fight, and he hasn't come back to us. So all this amounts to, we decided to take the war to Seagal.
Right.
The war on Seagal. We're going to pull apart films from his oeuvre.
Yes, the horrible fucking just turds that he's dropping recently, basically.
And look, maybe even we'll go back to, maybe not the early, well, maybe some of the early films.
Look, he made about three.
There's two
good
or three,
films.
Well, I would say at least one bona fide good film, which is probably Under Siege.
Agree.
But you and I both liked Mark for Death. Hard to Kill.
Hard to Kill.
Less so for me. Nico Above the Law.
That was his. That was when he was remotely thin, and he's still.
They're all. He's thin in all those films.
Yeah, you're right. It's until he got massive.
And then I think Fire Down Below.
Fire Down Below is when he just couldn't
it
run.
All went.
That's when he stopped running.
Is that the one he directed? Or no, that was on Deadly Ground.
Is that the Michael
Caine? Michael Caine.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah, okay. Yep. Sure.
Oh Jesus! Did anyone else?
That's right.
I know. That'll be Michael Caine on this podcast.
I thought it was an Italian job up in here.
What? No.
Okay. So what are we doing today, Paul?
But today we decided to start with, in this first part of the War on Seagal, we decided to start with the film Wayne did because his penchant for sniper films.
Yes.
And indeed playing sniper games.
Sniper Elite 4 is just the best.
And Sniper Elite 5 coming out soon.
Don't expect to see me, Paul.
Do you, if you'd like to give us a endorsement / sponsorship, Sniper Elite 5, Wayne is your man. We're doing Sniper Special Forces from 2016.
Special Ops, actually.
Probably. Oh, shit. Sorry, yeah, that one too. Directed and written by Fred Olin Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Stars Steven Seagal, Rob Van Dam. But
I know! It's V-A-N-D-A-M.
Yep. And Tim Abel. The only thing to mention about it is 84 minutes long. There's nowhere in the budget, nowhere in the box office. I'm just going to give you the critical response straight away.
Mm-hmm.
16% on Rotten Tomatoes. An insanely generous 16%.
Very generous.
Wayne, what is this one about?
Oh, God. All right, so Steven Seagal is somehow a sniper. He's a sniper named Jake Chandler, and he's in the army despite being 65. And him and his team of other motherfuckers, right? Like
also all old.
Also all at minimum age 50, all right? Forget about it. He got captured by the Taliban because they're in Afghanistan, right? And his team has to, like, you know, they get set upon, and they have to bug out without him. So him and his partner, who's been shot, have to basically hole up in some room somewhere until they come back, right?
You're utterly wrong, Wayne.
What?
You framed that description of the film from the point of view of Steven Seagal's Jake character,
I
who
know!
Is not the main character.
No,
but
no.
Let's get into that in a moment.
Absolutely. So this whole movie is about...
Well, we're going to give one sentence summary.
Yeah.
We're going to do, like our friends at So Wizard Podcast do, just our one sentence summary, and then we're going to spoil the shit out of the film from there. All right? I'm going to hit Jack We're going to spoil it. We're going to go through the film beat by beat. We don't normally do this, but we're just going to pull apart this film. That's
absolutely
what this, the War on Scale entails.
The War on Scale is a beat down.
So, Wayne, give us your one sentence summary of this film. What do you think of Sniper Special Ops?
Steven Seagal sits on his fat ass and my soul. 0 stars.
Do you want to give it a score out of 100? Or do you want to wait till the end and see who scores it lower? Okay, think about it.
Think about it.
Technically, my score is also in 0 stars, yep. If we could do that. But, of course, on Letterboxd, you've got to give a half-star rating. So I gave it half a star.
Yeah, okay.
Steven Seagal is not the main character, does not act, rocked up to set for between 2 and 7 days, and does fucking nothing entire film. And there is less sniping than you could possibly imagine. Fuck all stars.
Fuck all stars. Absolutely. Good call. All
right. Well, then let's hit the feedback, the spoiler button, because you don't need to know anything more than that, really. And then we'll get into, really, the War on Scale on the other side of this.
You can't handle the truth.
And apparently Steve Scale has no concept of the truth whatsoever.
Dude. Okay, check it out. All right, everyone. This movie opens with Steven Seagal sitting on his fat ass, right? And he's got
And it really doesn't much change.
It literally doesn't. I believe in my head, I'm looking at him. Okay, here's a movie. I'm going to do this movie, but I'm going to sit down the whole time. I'll stand up once, maybe take a few steps on camera, but that's it. It is basically flashing back and forth to him. He's like, if anything, a seventh lead. All right.
He would be like the fifth character in this film, I reckon.
He's got, I would say, 10 minutes of screen time.
Ooh, that would be a great.
Maybe?
Barely in this 84 minute film. The main character is actually Tim Abel, plays Sergeant Vic Mosby.
Yes.
So the film opens where basically Seagal is on Overwatch sniping with his young spotter.
Sorry, young. Yeah, he's got one young spotter who's about, whatever, 30.
Somewhere along those particular lines. And the old, rest of the old, they're all really super old. They're like all 40.
Yes.
Seeing this as an above 40 man myself.
Yeah.
Thinking,
dude, they're 50 and up.
How are you guys like special forces? What's going on here?
Forget, yes, there's no reason for the entire team to be this old. And there's one guy who's got guns. He's got pecs, right? Or he's got like a big arms. He's wearing a tank top.
But he dies real fast.
And he dies real fast because he's too good looking. So that's there.
Steve's going, nah. I think I'm threatened by him.
That's what it is. This is like old dogs, but not, right? It's like, it's, and get this. This is the thing that got me as well. Steven Seagal is sitting there on Overwatch with his sniper rifle, right? He refuses to take his fucking sunglasses off, and he's looking through a scope.
In the entire film the last shot.
Very end, he takes them off and says a dumbass line. We'll get to that, all right? But this is it. So he's obviously sitting there and doing that. Now, that gives me the shits. When he looks through the target reticle or whatever, the person he's shooting is so large in that lens. I bet you the guy's 10 meters away. It's so dumb, right? It looks incredibly shit.
I can go back even before this.
Please.
You always know you're in for a great B-level film when it takes 45 seconds for the production company's emblems to go through.
Oh, because it's like,
because there's so many people are throwing a little bit of money into this.
Oh, yeah.
So that was my first warning sign. Well, no, my second warning sign, because Steven Seagal's in it in 2016, which is when this film was made. And then we get shit stock footage of whatever conference or whatever. And then we get to Steven Seagal being professional. We open on him as if implying he's the main character.
Exactly. Like, this is about him. It's not.
And he takes out, I think, two people.
Yeah.
While the other team are on the ground waiting to go in to rescue a congressman.
Yes.
Right, who's been kidnapped. He shoots, because this is what professional snipers do.
Yep.
I'm reliably informed. He doesn't shoot the guy in the head and take him down.
Mm-mm.
He shoots his hip flask
first.
That's
right. He's drinking and he shoots out of
it. And the guy's like, huh? Then he shoots him.
Exactly. Because that's just, that's
that's brilliant.
Another 12 seconds of screen time. Or he missed and got the fucking thing. No, he probably didn't.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, you know.
Then he kills one other dude, and then we introduce the rest of this squad who are going into, as I said, rescue this congressman. And there's this inane dialogue back and forth where, at least to be fair to Tim Abel, he seems to be trying.
I'll be honest with you. That Tim Abel guy, all right, who is the lead of this show, yeah, make note of that, right? Yes, it's ridiculous. Yes, he's older than he should be. Yes, but he is at least giving it a very good college try. And he's literally the one. No one supports the film because it's a piece of shit, but he's the one
he's
carrying
the best thing
the film,
about the film.
Right? Yeah, because he at least has lines and has to act. So that is.
Whereas Steven Seagal is just like, yeah, remember when you owe me?
You owed me $50. I'm making 60 now.
Yeah. Huh. How about I save $5? Even that dialogue gets lost in the translation, because in the early part of the film, Seagal owes him money. By the end of the film, Fucking Vic saying, I owe him $60.
Exactly. That's
I'm like, what?
No continuity people.
Okay, I know who wrote the script. His name's Fred Olin Ray. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe this is his one-off and only film. He's made, let's see here, more than 25 films. He's directed this guy, Fred
really?
Olin Ray.
Yeah, no, you can make a living in Hollywood as a B-movie guy, like director or something.
Yeah, and look, none of them are named films. Look, I'd say 25. It's more like 50 films because I'm going backwards in time here, I've just realized.
Yeah, and at this stage, it would just be a job for him. He would just like, make this shot, we'll get that shot, do this, that'll be it.
Fucking God. And it wouldn't help the fact that Steven Seagal, he's not even phoning in. He's got two cans and a pair and a wire between them. He's not even doing that.
He doesn't stand up except for like once or twice. And even there's a scene where his partner gets shot and he hits the floor. And there's a shot of Steven Seagal supposedly dragging him along away from danger. You can kind of tell that there's a cable attached to that guy to help him to actually, he's not actually picking up.
You are being far too kind to this film. You skip so far ahead.
Okay, please go on.
So the team on the ground led by Vic Mosby, they go through like five different fucking sites where the congressman could be. Of course, it's in site E.
Yeah.
So we get the inane dialogue. We're supposed to be setting up characters
through
this time.
That's right.
They go in there. There's a congressman. For whatever reason, he's tied to this thing which he's getting drugged. And there's a line of dialogue that basically says, we know this is a trap. We're going to go do it anyway. We've got no choice.
That's right.
And then the trap is sprung by literally two different, maybe three different guys in the Desperado style of filmmaking.
Yep.
Where they're wearing different, I can't remember what the official title is around
there. We don't want to say rag, but it is like the headdressing or whatever.
So
yeah.
They're just covering with the traditional Middle Eastern, or depending on
Dude,
on
those
religion.
Are the same three extras.
Absolutely.
That they've just
And I know this because we never get more than two of them in any one shot through this entire action sequence.
Absolutely.
Which is the only action sequence in the first 60 minutes of this film.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 50 minutes of the film, if I'm really being really fair.
And might I add, this group of old soldiers are the shittest soldiers ever.
I'm going to run into the middle of the road and then reload.
That's it! I actually wrote that down. They wait till they're out in the open to reload. they come out from cover to fire and then run out of bullets and reload. They don't come back. I'm like, what the fuck? And dude, Steven Seagal is so fat. His bug out rig, the stuff he's wearing on his body, right, is arranged to try and hide his gut. He's got all these grenades and shit hanging off there. He's so fat. Before he used to tell him to cut the film.
How fat is he?
Exactly. Before they say like, oh, cut the film so it looks like I'm running, but I can't. He doesn't even bother with that.
He never runs in his entire film.
He barely stands up.
He and his spotter, so they start to head out towards where the Humvees are coming in to pick them up because they're like, we need helicopter support. They're like, yeah, no, we don't have any helicopter support. No, you don't, because the budget was too high for that.
That's right.
So Humvees come driving in. And then we get this hilarious moment when the Humvees are in and picking up all the soldiers, a couple of which get shot, as we said, in the middle of the street, including the guy with the pecs out.
He's dead. Doc, I think his name was.
They get the congressman in there. Someone else gets blinded, which is a point they make and never come back to.
Completely nothing.
They leave that guy behind at the base when they get him back there. But Vic and Vasquez, he's sort of 2IC, I guess, but it's hard to imagine how he's a 2IC of anything because of how dumb he is.
Exactly.
They survive, they get in the thing and they drive off. But the person on the top of the Humvee with the machine gun, the way the shots are cut, it looks like he's firing at the fourth level of a building. But yet,
people on the
ground. The bad guys are on the ground.
Yep, and they get exactly. And all the guys that actually came to rescue them are also old motherfuckers as well. So this is the oldest army in the history of time. I don't know what's going on.
Meanwhile, Seagal and his young spotter are trying to get to them, but they can't get there and then the spotter gets shot.
Yep.
As you said, Seagal drags him away, which is probably the most active he's in the entire film. Although he abandons his sniper rifle and he's just got whatever machine gun, assault rifle, it is. And he's up there on top firing into shots of him firing left and right. There's no effort made in this film to establish where he is in relation to the firefight on the ground.
Exactly. You're sort of meant to believe he's got higher ground because they're looking out a window down and they're on top of
the
building.
Then he goes to the top of a building.
Yeah,
and that alone is amazing. It does imply that Seagal dragged his fat ass upstairs at some point in the making of this film.
Dude, he didn't walk upstairs. I don't know what happened, right?
They probably used a crane.
Well, look at how he's shooting at them, though. Look, he's using the assault rifle, and it looks tiny in his hands. Look how lazily he's actually firing the rifle. It's almost like he's not aiming down the barrel.
Oh, not only that. Do you remember the bit before the spotter gets shot?
Yeah.
They're walking through these little tight streets.
Yep.
The only tight streets I might add to this entire fucking
crap set.
Yeah. And the way he goes around the corner, as he switches the gun from hand to hand, as if this is a fucking amazing
thing. Oh, God, he's such a dickhead. This is the same crap he always does where his hand covers the entire gun and he's doing like this wavy, it's shit.
Well, it's like, okay, so I'm right-handed.
Yeah.
Right? So If I'm firing a gun,
your trigger finger will be your right hand.
My hand. Yep. And, oh, is that the way it should be?
That's how it works.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Fuck,
yeah.
It feels more natural to do this to me.
See, that's the thing. It's like when you play the guitar, people pick it up.
Yeah, look, I always thought I played guitar right-handed.
Yeah.
Sorry. With my right hand, but left-handed.
Yeah, it's because you feel that.
And then I had to really teach myself.
Usually, it's like your most dominant foot is usually back when you're standing.
But when you jump off your non-dominant foot.
Yes. So that's exactly because it's the front foot. Yep. So, yeah. Anyway, sorry.
All right, so anyway, regardless, he's firing at one, and then it goes around a corner and glides and flips the gun to the other hand.
Yep.
It looks so. I've never seen this in any military film ever. Any film depicting the military in my history, my entire life.
Oh, I guarantee you.
And I know why. Because it makes no fucking sense.
Yes. You actually are, for the moment that you're interchanging hands, your gun is ineffective and you can't shoot anyone.
Yep.
So it's completely a stupid thing to do. And no consultant was on set, I guarantee you. Okay.
No, that would have cost too much money.
Don't even
worry about it. He's left behind because his spotter got shot. He drags him away.
Yep.
And they hole up in some building in this enemy-occupied town. Meanwhile, Vic and Vasquez get the congressman back to base where Dale Dye is stunt cast, I want to say, as the oldest
CEO,
Lieutenant Colonel, in the history of film.
Seriously?
I am stunned that he was able to stand up.
It is amazing because what they've done is to age up most of the cast to match Steven Seagal's 60-year-old ass, they had to make his CEO or Colonel like 80 years old. He's 80-something years, 85-year-old man, all right? He's
Dale
like,
Dye was an actual serviceman and served his country, from what
he?
I understand, in with
Are you familiar with this actor?
Yeah, yeah. He was in heaps of stuff.
Really?
Even Platoon, I think he was in.
Shit on me.
I'm going to back that up while Wayne continues to tell us what happens back at the base.
Well, that's the weird thing. So now you've got these scenes where this 80-year-old man, who's the ranking officer in the camp, looks ridiculous. He's wandering about the camp with the girl and talking and stuff. It looks like he's lost.
There's a admiral's niece who's a reporter for the UN or something or other.
Yeah, she's got some kind of... The whole point is she's privileged to be able to be in this post.
But she's a jinx.
And she fired... You know, she's trying to take photographs, which means she's trying to get outside the base so she can take action shots. And the 80-year-old colonel is like, no, you can't do that because yada, yada, yada. And again, he's just... The act of this really geriatric dude trying to...
At the time of the film, he was only 72. And he was a decorated Vietnam veteran. So.
Yeah. And you think... look, and I'm willing to... You know, I respect all of that. But in terms of the aesthetics for a movie, you would simply never have a guy this old still on active duty. That's just how it is. So it becomes this... It's even weirder than it
was.
I was
right. His first film was Platoon.
Platoon.
Yeah.
So
he's been around for 30 years.
Yeah, he's a veteran actor. But
it makes sense in the Platoon era when he's 42 years old.
That's right. If you're going to put him in this movie, he's got to have a role where he's not on active duty. Do you know what I mean? Because it's ridiculous.
Yep.
So there's that. And that girl as well. Okay. Oh my God. So the girl character is the photographer and she's trying to get out and yada, yada, yada. So she stows away on some mission and she gets out there and she's trying to take photos. But the guys are like, oh, the jinx was with us. But then, of course, Paul. She gets an
expert marksman.
Exactly. She gets a handgun from someone, and it's a 9mm, I might add. And somehow she's like, when they're under fire, she ducks out from behind the car, takes out motherfuckers. She's at the same angle as these seasoned soldiers who can't hit him, but she took him out.
Again, you've glossed over a lot.
Please.
So let's go back. We've lost the guy.
Jump around.
We've lost the guy who, back at the base now, so Dale Dye says, we need you to go out to pick up this munitions truck, which is supposed to be an abandoned middle of nowhere.
That's right.
And there's one guy there, Tyler, special agent Tyler, or special whatever his fucking name is.
Yep, that guy.
He's there and he's alone by himself. You need to go rescue him and whatever else. Now, Vic's like, hang on, but we left Jake and whatever the spotter's name is behind.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. All right, so he gets Vasquez and goes to get them. But there's this really undercooked theory that maybe there's some corruption happening in the army.
That's right.
Which they never bring to fruition.
That's a script thing that had to be cut.
But they do pick up Janet, is her name, and she stows, like you say, stows long. We lost the guy who'd been blinded after the congressman says some shit.
He had some exposition to do. He had to talk while
it's
he was...
so awkward. And poor Tim Abel is doing his level best here to seem like he's the really world-weary, understanding sergeant who... suspects there's corruption above him, but he still doesn't want to leave one of his best mates, Jake Chandler, behind, who's another sergeant.
Yep.
And only he's pulling any weight here. I don't think that her name's Charlene Amoya.
Mm-hmm.
Janet is terrible.
No, she's doing the role she was written, which is a shit role.
It's a shit role. They rock up there into the middle of this valley.
Yeah.
And there's two big hills on either side of them. And they're in the middle of nowhere here. And they're brought there by our local guide, Bashir.
That's right.
Strongly imply that he's got ties to the enemy.
That's right.
That never comes to fruition. Nope, so they're wrong about that.
Yep, elements. Yep.
And, And then they do get attacked whilst they're trying to get this mm-hmm. thing going. There's a bloke whose nickname is Detroit, and apparently he's good with engines.
So he's the guy who fixes the car.
Yep. And he's trying to fix it all under there. Janet gets a, as you say, 9mm. And when she's firing it, I don't know much about firing guns. So if you're a service person, you know, yeah. again, full credit yeah. to you for doing what you've done for your country. But I imagine if you're laying on the ground, pretty sure you're not meant to have your elbows bent at 45 degrees yeah, firing right. a gun, right?
Not to be this guy, but she looks like a young girl holding a gun. Do you know what I mean? Well, like
a person doesn't know.
Because the gun's actually pointed at an angle where she's just crawling, right? And I don't know what her trigger sensitivity is like. I'm not sure if she's in the guard or not. But the point is, it looks weird. And it's obviously someone who's then now all of a sudden good at shooting
yeah.
doesn't hold a gun yeah. like
and
that.
And once again, shots of one and maybe two dudes, enemies out there shooting
yep,
at them yep. at any one time.
Recast extras, yep.
And we're meant to buy the fact that they're surrounded by this enemy. On one side.
Yep.
Now, I remind you, they're in a road in a valley.
Yeah.
At no point, apparently, do the enemy decide to encircle them
well,
and shoot from both sides.
You might argue that they're keeping the enemy from moving around. I don't know.
You just run 400 meters the other way
yeah, exactly.
and cross the road exactly. and then come up the hill.
It would have taken
7 or 8 minutes tops. They would have been encircled and dead because they're all hiding on one side of this fucking truck that they're trying to get started.
Forget that, Paul. But these trucks are basically, they're not armored trucks, okay? And there's people inside and it's getting shot at from everywhere. And the people inside are just, there's not even bullets coming through the canvas. It's just, what's up?
Good point.
You know?
Very good point. But we do get Detroit then. And I have to say this, Wayne, in arguably the greatest running shot in history since Reap. When you ran,
Reap is a shitty film that we filmed when we were 23. Go on.
That's right. If you're new to the show and you're a Steven Seagal fan, sorry, I'm surprised you made it this far. But he's running, and the camera is probably the only time the camera moves in the
yep.
whole film.
Yep.
It's chasing him, and he's pumping his arms
because mm-hmm.
he's trying to get to the other car to get whatever to drive the other truck in front to create a barrier.
Yeah.
From the car, the truck with all the ammunition in case it blows up.
Mm.
He's running and pumping his fists. His arms really hard.
Yeah.
And the camera's behind him, but you can tell it's moving at a glacial pace.
Oh, so it's, yeah, this is a lot like that Reap shot. Yeah, that's. Well, again, that guy's about 50 or something, right?
So... Detroit was a bit younger.
Detroit was a bit younger. Probably our age.
35.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe 35. Anyway, it was terrible. And then Special Agent Tyler or whatever his name is runs over to help and he gets shot and killed.
Yep.
That's the last death in the film. Everybody else lives, including. We now have come across that Tyler picked up a woman who had whip marks on her back, who turns out to be the daughter-in-law
yes.
of the local Taliban leader.
Yes, his granddaughter is her kid.
Yes, the yes. grandson.
Son.
That's
son.
Why that's why he cares so much, because he just wants a boy.
Of course, yes.
And his son was already killed, as we find out later. Right. Now, you might be wondering, where's Steven Seagal in all this? Good
exactly.
fucking question.
He's not in any of this shit. You, as far as you, the viewer, are supposed to be concerned, he's waiting out back in that safe house he plays that him and his fucking partner will hold up in. And that's the last you hear from it from basically most of the movie.
Untrue. How dare you, Wayne?
Where?
At one point, Seagal says, I'm going outside.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he goes out to get the water pack for one of the dead soldiers that he came in with.
Yeah.
He sees other dudes, stops, pauses, then goes across the street, grabs the water, and brings it back to the young fella and himself.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I forgot.
That is the extent of Seagal's action in this film until the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Now, that's also the most moving he does
yes.
on camera.
Yep.
Because everything else, he's sitting on his ass. That's it.
It is incredible.
And delivering
shit lines.
There are
whole scenes with this young actor who's pretty terrible as the spotter. He's talking about his girlfriend. She broke up with him. And why are you doing this to me? Because you remind me of my younger brother.
Exactly. And he's still wearing his fucking sunglasses.
Still wearing his sunglasses and not emoting at all. Seagal was never a good actor. No one's going to look back at Hard to Kill and Under Siege and say he's a good actor. But
no.
But he had a physical presence.
Well,
and he seemed to be the way they cut these things fast.
Those movies had a production value
yep.
that could cut around his poor performance.
Yep.
Because back then, at least he could move and do fighting. Yes. And that's what you wanted
that's
to
I'm
watch.
Saying. He had a physical
So you
presence.
Didn't care what he said.
Yep.
Right? But now but he now, can't do anything.
Because he can't move physically. And
you're left with his performance. That's fucked up.
The guy... Because he's so worried he can't act, he just leaves his sunglasses fucking on, Wayne.
I know. What is that idea? Like, even if he wants to, like...
You're a sniper! Take your fucking sunglasses off so you can see down the fucking sight!
Exactly. It's very annoying because he keeps doing it as well. So he's an idiot as well. So that's the shit.
Where is your honor, dirtbag? You are an absolute disgrace!
Perhaps the most apt time I've ever used that.
Well, yeah, but soundboard sucks, so... Now, Paul, in this big firefight... that you're talking about, since you're going blow by blow.
Yeah, we're back to the valley.
Yeah, back to the valley. So she takes out some motherfuckers. She sort of tries to get the fucking, you know, save the baby and all that sort of shit.
Oh, yeah,
and
sorry. The woman, the local, grandson,
right? And then they finally make it back to the town where they meet the bad guy.
Well, hang on a second. So Vic says, all right, you take one cat. They've driven them off. And what drives them off is they all recognize the daughter-in-law of the Taliban leader and don't want to shoot her.
Yes.
So a couple other people...
Which we then find out.
Yeah, a couple other people get wounded. So Vic takes Vasquez as well and the daughter-in-law back to the town on the excuse of, we'll give the daughter-in-law back to the Taliban leader. He'll let us walk Jake and the spotter out. We'll have a trait. This is not sanctioned.
Nope.
Meanwhile, we've completely forgotten about the overarching kind of theory of there being some form of corruption within the army.
Yes.
That's gone. Good. And it was barely mentioned by us because it's that... barely mentioned in the course of the film. The Detroit, the young fella who fixed the cars, the young soldier, and the journalist have gone back in the original car. So we've just got the three of them left now.
That's right.
And they drive into the town.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the greatest...
Ignoring the fact that you're bringing the civilian in with you to the most dangerous part of the thing.
Yeah, you know, and you're going to hand her back. Absolutely. Whatever else. And there's a moment where Vasquez is aghast at Vic when Vic says... Vic goes over and talks to the evil Taliban leader,
mm-hmm.
and they negotiate this change. And the evil Taliban leader, of course, was educated in the West.
Yes.
And has an arts degree in
Waterloo.
That's
right, of course.
4 years at blah, blah, blah. And Vic says, oh, 4 years in high school.
Yeah.
Brilliant writing, well done. Vic says, all right, I'll hand you over. Goes back and says to Vasquez, all right, send her off. And Vasquez is horrified because she's wearing the hijab,
the huge
headdress and whatever for... Muslim women, I think they're Muslim. Sorry if I'm getting that wrong.
Yeah, it is.
You're going to send this woman back to the place where this is awful. But anyway, he does it because he's been given a command by his sergeant. Turns out it's the journalist.
Yes, Gambit. The person in the burqa or the fucking hijab is the white journalist.
Yeah, the burqa is the whole thing. The hijab's
hijab, you're right. Yeah. So she whips out and she's like, and she's like, ha ha. And then fucking clips a bag of what looks like grenades onto this. The Taliban leader
basically
and
says,
pulls the pin.
Fuck you, fuck.
That's right. And she's like, fuck you. Then she knees him in the fucking nuts, right? And then backs off.
And the best part about this his soldiers don't open fire on
her. They go, what the fuck?
And they just see what she's done and just run away.
That's right. And then she has time to fuck off. Now, here's the real bit, Paul. Instead of the Taliban leader, a seasoned warrior, soldier, asshole, whatever, he looks down at this clipped on bag of explosives, right? Or clipped on, like, taped up explosives. And then he goes on to fumble like a bitch with it. Like, what am I going to do? Instead of just ripping off the clip and chucking it and running, which is what anyone would do, he fucks around with it for like, I don't know, 5 seconds. And then, shot, kaboom.
Kaboom.
Right?
In one of the greatest CG, very quickly cut away from it, explosions you've ever seen.
It was a CG cutaway. It was nothing. There was no red debris, nothing. And then there's a fire.
There's barely any blood in this movie.
Oh,
for a war film, this could be PG-13. I think I say fuck a few times.
Blood's expensive, Paul.
Yeah.
Right? Blood spurts, squibs, all very expensive, okay? When you can just make a CG bullshit explosion, that's what you do.
Oh, it was so bad. I literally stopped the film, rewound it, watched it again. I laughed so hard at this sequence.
Oh, dude. And remember that after she fucks off...
Vasquez had sat in the cab next to her the entire time and not realized it wasn't the local woman.
Is it playing like he didn't
know? Yes, he didn't know. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe he did know, and that's why he was horrified. We're sending her over?
That's giving the movie a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Well, no, forget this. When the girl comes back, after she knees him in the nuts and fucks off and no one shoots at her, she then pulls her pistol, which she's still been holding, right? And then without taking any cover, just starts blam, 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 blam. I'm like, what the fuck?
Grabs a machine gun.
Then she grabs a machine gun, and then she turns into Rambo and becomes a weapons expert and then proceeds to kick ass. It is so... incredibly shit. Again, no Steven Seagal anywhere to be seen, which is probably a blessing at this stage.
I agree. Except he now moves back to the roof where he was before and starts shooting. And he kills, of course, more people than anybody
else. Absolutely.
Because there will
no
doubt be a fucking clause in his contract that he has to be the hero.
No doubt.
In this film. And if you're not aware, Steven Seagal has a clause in his contract where he's not allowed to die after executive decision.
Yep.
So in every film, there is an exception to that. In fact, I think maybe the last film we ever made.
Yeah.
But... He's the bad guy in that film, and he kills the hero, and then he dies.
Really?
Yeah.
What movie is that?
I can't remember the name.
Some piece of shit, yeah.
It is so bad. This is I'm pretty sure it's the last film we ever made, 2019.
Oh my God, what a bag of shit.
So, yeah, you can watch this film knowing Steven Seagal is safe. You know, he shoots a bunch of people from the roof, again, with no interaction with anybody else. I don't believe Seagal was on any set with anyone other than the young person in the early scenes.
He was on set, I reckon, tops 6 days.
Yeah.
Right?
My review says seven.
Seven, yeah. Someone said to him, hey, listen, we need your name to sell this movie. And okay, well, I got 6 days to shoot and I don't want to go to location. So you're going to have to do a lot of camera pointing up at me with like a blank background sky. And there's only a bit. Yeah, you're right. The interaction he has is mostly over the radio, and there's one shot of him with the actual woman on set with the other folks at the very end when he finally takes off his stupid sunglasses, and he's sporting a shitty sort of southern accent sort of thing. He's like,
"What do you mean?"
Yeah, he's a lady, brother. That's
sounds
right,
like this.
Brother. Yeah, he's doing that all the time. And then here's the absolute kicker, Paulie. At the total end, the journalist comes up to him. Seen a sort of flirty smile on her face. It must have made her throw up as an actress. And she's like, Sergeant Chandler, are you really as good as they say you are? He answers like,
once in a while.
And then that's how he takes off his stupid sunglasses.
And that's the end of the film.
That's the end of the film. Now, first of all, nobody even mentioned Chandler to her in the whole film.
Good
and
point.
She's like, are you like as good as they say you are? I'm like, this is so hokey and shithouse, man. This is the worst piece of shit ever. And I'm sure he thought it was a masterpiece. Like, once in a while. Fuck off. Like, it's such shit. This is the worst shit
he does nothing. So, yeah, everyone else lives. The good goodies win the day. Who cares about the corruption in the army? Steven Seagal got to think he was cool.
Absolutely.
This is a massive piece of shit. It is by far the worst film I've seen this year. And I watched The Hating Game this year, Wayne. So did you?
I barely even count this as a movie. This is like watching like a straight to video MOW.
I nodded off at the 68 minute mark and had to rewind 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is exactly.
There is exactly 1, 2, 3 action scenes in this entire 84 minute film, and it feels like 2.5 hours.
I actually feel bad for the lead, the actual lead of this film, because you can tell at least he's trying. And I actually think they cast him because it's like, well, this guy is probably an ex wrestler or something, and he probably can. He's the only one who can sort of act.
And let me remind you, no sniping in the other than the first fucking seven minutes.
Three rounds from a sniper rifle being gone. Yep.
Why is this called Sniper Special Ops?
Can we also?
Why is Steven Seagal on the back of a really shit-ass CG cover?
You know what's secretly pissing you off? In the title Sniper Special Ops, there's no colon.
Yeah.
It's Sniper Special Ops.
That is really pissing me off.
Listen, you snot-nosed little shit! I was taking shrapnel and case side while you were grabbing it in your hands and rubbing it on your face!
That Gary Busey sound clip had more talent in it than this entire fucking film.
Undoubtedly. The no talent was in you playing it.
Oh my God.
So, yes, absolutely.
Unquestionably one of the worst films we've ever done for the show. I think maybe the worst film we've ever done for the show. It's a micro-budgeted piece of shit with a truly crap action, a star who makes Bruce Willis in recent films with his difficulties, disability, look like an absolute superstar.
No, and Bruce Willis
is that is barely coherent. They can't even join the dots that it sets up.
No, totally. Even Bruce Willis's worst day is still better than this shit.
Absolutely.
Cop Out's better than this.
I haven't seen that film.
Well, so trust me.
I trust
it
you.
It sucks, and it's still better than this.
So here's what I'm giving it. I'm giving it a full 8 out of 100. Fuck you, Steven Seagal. This is shit. I hope we never watch another worst film for this series ever.
I mean, can I try and find anything like?
Like I said, you got to give Vic some marks. I feel
fine. Vic gets 5 points.
5 out of 100. 5 out of 100. There we are. 5 and 8. That's 6.5 out of 100 for Sniper Special Ops.
Sniper Special Ops. No colon.
Sniper Special Ops.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Literally, Steven Seagal.
First, take a big step back and literally fuck your own face!
And then the rest of you, thank you for listening so much to this pull apart of this particular piece of shit movie. And let us know what you think of this. Do you want to see us pull apart more Steven Seagal films?
We're going to.
Like it or not. Nevertheless, we want to hear back. If it's awful, and look, we know the numbers will tank this week too. If I can borrow a line from a good friend of the show, Joey.
Hopefully you've enjoyed this shutdown.
But we feel the need to get this off our souls because we started this beef with Seagal and he is even worse than we could humanly have imagined. And you can do so via getting back to us at thecountdownpodcast.com, our first draft website, which Wayne is very close to updating on. Follow and like the show on Podbean, where we host, and check out the Facebook community, where no doubt we will create a bit of a discussion about this. Link is in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this is The Soundboard.
Take it back!
Steven Seagal, you piece of shit. We'll catch you next time. See ya.